Okay, I'm going to talk about a subject entitled Dealing with the Source. Dealing with the Source. So if you got your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 19 to 24. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 19 to 24. Dealing with the source. Sometimes when we have like consistent issues, we would try to take care of them, but they keep coming back up. Most of the times it's because we have not dealt with the source of the problem. But once you go to the source, you're able to deal with the problem once and for all. 2 Kings 2:19-24. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad, and the ground is barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. So just some background on Elisha. See, Elisha was a successful farmer. He was busy minding his own business with his workers, and suddenly God speaks to Elijah to go and get Elisha. He said, "Go and get the young man Elisha, because he shall be prophet in your room." In other words, go and get him, because after you pass on, after you come to be with me here in glory, he's going to take over from what you've been doing. See, I've noticed every time God called people in the body of Christ, none of them were sitting dormant or doing nothing. They were all doing something. When the Lord called Peter, he was busy, you know, catching fish. When he called Matthew, he was busy being a tax collector. All of them, they were busy. So in other words, God never calls people that are not doing anything. God always calls people that are still productive in their lives. And Elisha was productive. But when Elijah came upon Elisha, he threw his cloak upon him, and Elisha knew what that meant. The Bible says he followed Elijah, but before then he took his cattle, he killed the cattle and fed it to his workers, and he just went on. He never looked back ever. Because the Bible says, you know, whoever puts their hands to the plow and looks back, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. Listen, there's a fitness in order for a person to pursue the things of God. If you keep looking backward, you become unproductive and unfruitful. But if you choose to forget about the past and embark on aiming for the future with your eyes fixed upon Jesus, then you become productive and fruitful. Somebody say amen. Amen. So this was after Elijah had ascended on high to heaven. Elijah did not die. He just went up. You know, I don't know how it happened, but just like he was taken up into the skies. And then Elijah was on his way. He passed through certain places, and he came to this part of the country. But the point is this. From the outside, and as far as the eye could see, all was well in that city. Everything looked fine. It was pleasant. The truth of the matter was, there was a hidden problem which the eye could not see. The water was bad, causing the ground to be barren. Now, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the house of God. Our heart can be, I can refer to our heart as a land or a piece of land where you can sow different kinds of seeds. There are some times when somebody can look right on the outside, but on the inside, they are not there. And it requires a discerning eye to be able to pick up where somebody is as a person. And most of the times, like, you know, with Pastor Mukamuri, nobody knew he was going to die the next day. He looked healthy, but somebody wasn't right in his body. You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is, only God knows what's within a person's heart. And if we seek him with all our hearts, God is able to show us what is happening in other person's life. God speaks even in this day and age. So the city looked okay on the outside, but on the inside, there was a problem. The ground was barren as far as the people were concerned. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, 17, verse 19, let's look at the history of the ground. The Bible reads that, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. See, to curse means to take away power. To bless means to empower. It says, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So because of one man's disobedience, the ground was cursed. Now Isaiah 1:12 reads, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you may make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But his face is turned away from wickedness. When a person is walking upright before God, your conscience is clear. You'll be able to come before God in boldness because you know God is on your side. But if there's sin in your life, it becomes difficult to enter in boldly and obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Somebody say amen. Amen. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. See, unrighteous living or sin in one's life eventually robs them the joy of being fruitful and having a productive life. The Bible says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When a person is living righteous, you always have the joy of the Lord inside of you. You can be going through a difficult time, but that joy will always be in there. You always have that peace in you. So the Bible says, them that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They won't be shaken by any kind of bad news. See, yesterday when I heard about Pastor Makomuri dying, I had a wedding to do. My heart sank, but suddenly I just felt this thing rising up within me. Like, it's okay. You can still do this. And I did it. You know why? Because of the God that abides inside of us. He that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. So when you go through bad times, just dig in deeper, because God has given you a grace and an ability to arise above those hard and tough times. Somebody say amen. Amen. But sin will rob one of the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, because God is no respecter of events or one's prominent status in society, he is a respecter of his principles. In other words, God is not a respecter of people. He's a respecter of his principles. Excuse me. When a person lives by God's principles, then they will see God's hand over their lives. It doesn't matter how prominent somebody is. It doesn't matter how eloquent they are. It doesn't matter how much they give. It doesn't matter how much they prophesy. If they don't follow God's principles, if they violate God's principles, they'll be unproductive in their lives. Because God only honors his principles. Seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all that you need will follow you. Most of the times, we only go up to the part of seek ye first my kingdom. We forget about his righteousness. So we are righteous in God's eyes, but we are supposed to practice and walk righteously. Are you with me? So if we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, then whatever you need, the Bible says, it will come after you. In other words, don't chase after it. It will come right after you. It will be chasing you. They'll be like, oh, where's Brian? Oh, let's go get Brian. Because you're living upright before God. In other words, when you've got God's favor over your life, you don't chase after anything. It chases after you. Because God is in control of your life. Somebody say amen. Now, Genesis 1, 10 to 12, it reads, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. So God's plan and God's desire for mankind is to multiply. in every aspect of life. Because if you look at, you know, when he made creation and put all the living things in the garden, each one of them had a seed inside of them. Why? Because multiplication comes through seeds. Without seeds, there's no multiplication. But where there's a seed, there will be multiplication. And so God wants us to be a people that multiply at all times and be fruitful. Somebody say amen. Amen. So bearing fruit after their own kind, we see in them. God's desire that fruit bear fruit of its kind through that seed. So you can't get a mango tree after you plant an apple seed. It's impossible. You only get a mango tree after you plant a mango seed. See, back in Africa, man, like in Zambia, there's mango trees everywhere. On the streets everywhere, because people have mangoes, and when they eat the mangoes, they just throw them anywhere, so they grow anywhere. And if you ever ate an African mango, you never ever eat. I'll stop right there. African mangoes are sweet. I'm telling you, they're like sweet. So seeds bring about continuity of life. Where there's no seed, there will be no fruit. It's the same with giving. If you don't give, you have nothing in return. But if you give, it doesn't matter how long it takes, at some point, you will get a return because God is faithful. In fact, the Bible says, you know, if you lend to the poor, God will pay you back. He's the same God who said, oh, no, man, nothing. So if God told me, if I lend to the poor, then I lend to him. And he said, oh, no, man, nothing. Then he doesn't want to owe me anything. He'll give me back what I gave to the poor. Did you hear that? Whatever you give to the poor, the Lord shall give back unto you. See, the Bible says, the poor you will have with you always, all the time. Wherever you go, you always find poor people. There are some people back in some other countries, they don't believe there are poor people in America. They don't believe that because they watch too much Hollywood stuff on TV. They think as long as you live here, you've got everything. But the Bible says the poor you have with you always. But here's the key. When you're blessed, you're not blessed for yourself. You are blessed to bless other people as well. The moment one begins to hoard their wealth, they will end up losing their wealth. There was this lady back home in Africa, man. She had tons of cash in her bank and she never helped nobody. Nobody. Then suddenly her bank went under because the bank was young. It went under and she lost all her money. Then she came like, please pray for me. I've lost all my money. The bank, you know, some of the money wasn't insured. I don't know what happened. Nobody wanted to pray for her because she was mean and just like, and stingy. To make a long story short, after like a few months, she came back and said, well, I've been praying and finally I have peace in my heart because I released that money to the Lord. No, you didn't because you lost your money. You didn't. But anyway, I'm not trying to make fun of it, but I'm just giving an example. You hoard your resources, you end up losing them. We are blessed to bless. The Lord told Abraham, he said, I will bless you. I'm not going to stop there. And you shall be a blessing unto other people. And I will bless those who bless you as well. So when God blesses you, your job is to bless other people as well. If you keep holding it, you might end up losing it. Somebody say amen. So when the Israelites crossed over to the other side, the Lord told them, don't rest until you bring the others also as well. So if God blesses you with anything, don't rest until the others also jump or cross the line as well. See, God wants us to multiply, not just as individuals, but also as the body of Christ. Amen. Let's continue. Matthew 7:16-20, it reads, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from the thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. See, what a person carries on the inside will manifest on the outside. And eventually, it translates into their lifestyle. You can hide all you want. Someday it will come out if you don't repent. It will always... See, we are sons of the light. And if a child of the light keeps living in darkness, at some point, it will be exposed. Because God loves us so much, he wants us to be a child of the light. So if one is living in darkness, yet they are God's people, and they refuse to repent, at some point, it will come up. But if you repent, God is gracious to forgive all your sins or trespasses and give you a brand new day with a brand new page. Somebody say amen. But the bottom line is, whatever is inside, it always manifests on the outside. You can't hide that. See, there was this man, he was a prophet. He went to preach at this church. He would speak prophetic words upon, he would read your mail like boom, boom, boom. And everybody's like, wow, that was a great man of God. A few days passed by, right? And two young boys went, true story, went to see the senior pastor. And they said, we've got something to tell you. What it is? Oh, what is it? That man who came to minister, he molested us. He is the man who was moving God's power, yet he had a dark secret. He was a child molester. In the end, he was exposed. In other words, don't follow miracles. Don't follow somebody's eloquence. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If there's a dent in a person's lifestyle, you have to be careful how you follow them. Because you always become like the people you spend time with. You can't hide from that. You become like the person you always hang around with. Talk about Peter. So when Christ was being arrested, you know, in the Bible, in the four Gospels, Peter, right, he denied Jesus. And the Bible says he went outside among the people that were warming themselves by the fire. And he was busy just warming himself. And the actor said, hey, you, aren't you that man inside there? He's like, no. I don't know him. They said, no. You speak like him. So how he spoke gave him away. So you always become like the people you spend time with. Go to churches. They always speak like the way somebody else speaks all the time. Somebody say amen. So be careful with whom you hang around with or whom you lock your horns with. Because the Bible says bad company corrupts character. Character is the moral qualities of a person. If you choose to lock horns with a person that is not walking upright, it will eventually rub onto you. If you spend time with a toxic person, you end up becoming toxic. Because they infect you as well. You talk like them, you think like them, you act like them. You begin to hate other people because of the toxicity which is inside of you. Let's move on. It's impossible to bear spiritual fruit God's way if you don't have the seed of the word of God in your heart. In other words, without the seed of God hidden in your heart, spiritual barrenness and spiritual unproductivity will follow. The most deception anybody can ever have is believing they cannot read their Bible and become effective as a Christian. It's impossible. You cannot become an effective believer without the seed of the word of God inside of you. That's impossible. You only become effective by virtue of what you have on the inside. You only give what you have on the inside. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So Peter didn't have the cash, but he had the anointing in him. So you only give out what you have on the inside. Without the word of God, it's impossible to give out the word of God. You have to study, read, spend time in that Bible. Eat that word. Amen. See, when I got saved, I spent 3 years, 3 solid years without reading the newspaper, without watching TV, without hearing secular music. I was just reading the Bible for 3 solid years. People thought I was going crazy. Because every time I spoke, it was about the Bible, you're crazy, man. Because that's all I read. But then afterwards, I realized, you know what? I need to become normal again. So I got normal. I became normal again. I began, you know, mingling with people. At least, you know, by that way, I was able to pray for events which I was unaware of. It's okay to always be in the Word of God, but sometimes you have to be mingle with people as well. Become a normal human being. Otherwise, they'll think you're crazy. Trust me on that one. But my point is, you have to eat that word. You eat it, then you become like Christ. Then you begin to know how God operates as well. But if you don't read the Bible, you won't even understand what God is saying, because God speaks through his word. When somebody prophesies, it has to be according to the word of God. There are so many people who've been robbed of their lives because somebody spoke a word of God, a word over them that didn't have any substance from the Bible. The Bible says, judge prophecy. When you hear a prophetic word, you got to judge it, man. Is that from the Lord? That's just from the flesh. Judge prophecy. It has to be in line with the word of God. Somebody say amen. Okay, we're moving quickly. Okay, look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 12 to 22. See, in the other scripture, God cursed the ground because of Adam's sin. In Genesis 3, 12, 22, the Bible reads, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Did you hear that? I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat and winter and summer, all day and all night shall not cease. Notice the Bible says, this is kind of amazing, says, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. It doesn't say from the time he's a baby, from his youth, when he begins to know what is good and what is bad. Most of the time, men are inclined to go toward what is evil because we are born in sin. Only God has the power to change our mentality and the direction of our heart. But the point is this. Out of one man's disobedience, the ground was cursed. But Noah, the Bible says, sent a sacrifice to God. And because of that, the Lord was pleased and he proclaimed, the ground shall no longer be cursed. So there are people who still believe the ground is cursed. But according to the scripture, is it still cursed? It's not. So that's, when you hear stuff like that, it's not biblical. The ground is not cursed because God said, as long as the earth endures, there shall be winter, summer, day and night shall not cease, and there will be seed time and harvest time. So if the ground is cursed, you won't be able to have a harvest. You cannot. So God blessed the ground and he empowered the ground to bring forth fruit again. So your ground has been empowered to bring forth fruit again. There's no point in thinking, oh, the ground is cursed. That is not the truth. The Lord blessed the ground. He empowered it to bring forth fruit. So if you're thinking of being a farmer, go ahead. God shall bless you. Because the ground is blessed anyway. So he empowered the ground. Now back to 2 Kings 2:19, 24. Then the man of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord says, but the water is bad. And the ground is barren. And he said, bring me a new bar and put salt in it. So they brought to him. Then he went to the source of the water and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed this water. For me, there shall no more be death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. My point is this. See, the ground was not the problem. The ground was not barren. The ground was not bad. The issue was the source of the water. That's what the problem was. And so Elisha went straight to the source of the water. And he poured water. So he poured salt at the source. And the Bible says the ground was healed. So the issue was with the source. There are some people that have got issues upon issues upon issues. Look for the source of the problem. When you find the source, then you'll be able to help that person. Otherwise, you can pray for them all you want. You can counsel them all you want. If you don't deal with the source, the issue will still be there. So the ground was not bad because the Lord had empowered the ground to bring forth seed. Remember, as far as the earth endures, there shall be seed time and harvest time. So the problem was with the source. Think of a person that has some consistent issue over and over. You prayed for them. You've done all you can, but it still keeps coming back. Pray that God will show you the source of the problem. When you do that, you'll be able to help them with their problem. Amen. On the other hand, sin in the world is a result of the fallen nature. See, this is why, listen, as believers, right, we need to be careful how we speak about non-believers. Sometimes we are so critical and we always condemn them. See, I chose a long time ago never ever to condemn a non-believer for the way they live their lifestyle. Because in their hearts, they already believe they're going to hell. I will never tell an unbeliever, you're going to hell. When you do that, you simply enforce their belief they're going to hell. See, the Bible says it's not meanness. It's not condemnation that leads men to repentance. The Bible says it's the kindness of God which leads men to repentance. You won't win your brother by being mean toward them. You won't win your coworkers by being sarcastic toward them. You're not going to win them. You just drive them away. But if you choose to be kind toward them, you win them over to God. Trust me on that one. You can pray all you want. You can preach all you want to them, but if you're mean and nasty and toxic, you're not going to win them over. It's impossible. But if you're kind, in fact, the Bible says, don't return evil for evil. Where there's evil, you have to be kind. Because it's the kindness of God which brings men to repentance. Man fell short of God's glory. But God, through his kindness and his love, he gave his one and only begotten Son. We are all here today because of God's kindness. Backbiting your coworkers, that's your job as a Christian, doesn't work. That kind of behavior, it only brings condemnation upon the God you serve. Because at the back, behind you, they'll be saying, what kind of a Christian is he? I don't want to be like him. He's always backbiting me. I don't want to be like him. I thought church people were different. No, I don't want to do it. But if you're kind, kindness doesn't, it doesn't hurt to be kind, but it helps to be kind. Just be kind. And also develop a habit of not just helping church people, help also non-believers. Because if you help an unbeliever, God is going to honor you back. He's going to do that. Are you still with me? God is good. Okay, Matthew 3:10. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. But Jesus replied, every plant my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. That's Matthew. Matthew 15:13. Listen, if you cut a tree by the branches, it eventually grows back. But if you uproot the tree, it will never grow back up again. Never, ever. Why? Because you've pulled the tree from the roots. So if you deal with an issue from the roots, it's gone once and for all. So talk about Goliath. Goliath kept coming before the Israelites 40 days and 40 nights. And every time he showed up, the Bible says they all ran away from him. They became terrified and they ran away from him 40 days and 40 nights because they were afraid of him. So you might have a Goliath in your life right now. It keeps coming back over and over and over. Now watch how David killed Goliath. He didn't just hit him with a spear in his stomach or just chop off his leg. You chop that leg off, he's still Goliath. He'll still come after you. You cut his hand, he's Goliath. He'll still come after you. You take one eye, he'll still come back after you. What did David do? He chopped off his head. Boom! That was it. That was the end of Goliath. If you chop a snake by its middle, it's still alive. It can still grow a tail, right? But if you chop off the head, that's it. Amen. So maybe right now, your problem would be you've left the head on your problem. You need to chop the head out of your problem. Every time you're prayed for, you still keep going back to that thing over and over and over. So no matter how much somebody prays for you, it's not working because the head is still there. See, everything is in the head right there. Maybe your issue is in your head. Doesn't matter how much somebody prays for you, but because your mind is not renewed with the word of God, you still keep getting back to the problem. Okay, let's conclude this message, man, because I know you're hungry, you want to go home. Okay. So a problem needs to be dealt from its roots. That's it. Conclusion. Job 14:7. And can you put that up there, please? Job 14:7. And this is a wonderful scripture. Job 14:7-9. For there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again. And its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent, at the scent of water, it will bud. Wow. And bring forth branches like a plant. At the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Let me tell you something. Are you feeling dry right now? Are you feeling right now weary, discouraged? The Bible says at the scent of the water, which is the word of God. If you choose to just sit under the word of God, God is going to give you strength once again by his spirit. The Bible says times of refreshing only come by watching TV. only come by watching the walking dead. Only come by watching Once Upon a Time. Only come by watching Dancing with the Stars. Only come by watching CNN. Only come by watching Fox News. No. They come by spending time in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the only place where we can be able to feel that power again. So you need to get back to the altar. The source of the issue could be you're no longer spending time in God's word. You come to church, but you're far away from being in church. Get back to where you met the Lord. So when Abraham went to Egypt to look for food because of the famine, the Bible says when he went back to the altar. Or he made an altar, he went back to where he first met with the Lord. It's time to get back to where we first met with the Lord. Amen. Because that's where the power is. That's where his hand of refreshing is. I'll read this again, man. For as hope, for there is hope for a tree, it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Let's all rise up. Hallelujah.